We talked about parables. We're going to look at one of the most, if not the most important parable that Jesus taught. Why do I say it's the most important parable? Because Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, you're not going to understand any of the parables that I've taught you. Okay, and we said that parables were meant to teach only a certain group of people, right? We said it was those who were hungry for the Lord, those who were teachable, those who wanted to learn, learned. The others who didn't, that's why Jesus taught in parables, so that the secrets of God's kingdom would be hidden from them and not from those who wanted it. Now, I know that thought in itself is hard for some of us to accept, because we've always been taught he is revealed to everybody, he is this to everybody, he doesn't want anyone to perish. True. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. True. But how many of us know that if you're going to want to get to know the Lord, you have to make that move? Right? Doesn't the Bible say in James 4:8, draw near to God and he in return will draw near to you? Right? So these things were hidden from the wise and the learned. Luke chapter 10 says, now in World War II, somebody came up with a brilliant idea in the armed forces, and they said to encode our messages so that if they're intercepted by spies of the enemy spies, that they would not be able to understand our messages. So they decided to use Navajo, the Navajo language, to encode our messages in. Did you know that? And because they don't have any Navajos over across the pond. So I thought that was brilliant. They spoke it in a language that was known to natives in our country, but none to the enemy. So I thought that was very brilliant. That's what really what parables are like. So we're going to look at Mark 4 this evening. We started in on it, and if we can just jump in on the explanation part, verse 14, the sower sows the word. Okay, this is commonly known as the parable of the sower. Okay, let me ask one question. In this parable, who is the ultimate sower? Jesus, right? Isn't Jesus trying to get the word of God broadcasted into four different types of heart conditions, right? Four different types of soil. And then who's the one, the enemy, that's trying to take them away? Satan, right? As soon as the seed was broadcasted, was the first hard, the hard ground, the Satan immediately came to steal the seed, steal the word, right? How many of us know that a Christian with the word, armed with the word of God, is a very powerful being and a threat to the enemy, right? Satan doesn't fool a lot with baby Christians. Satan doesn't fool a lot with carnal Christians, but he will take seriously a believer that is fully armed with God's word. All right, so let's jump into verse 14. So we said the sower, the ultimate sower is Jesus, but am I too a sower tonight? Am I not broadcasting God's word? So I am an under-sower under the ultimate sower, Jesus Christ. These are the ones by the wayside or the roadside where the word is sown, and when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. We talked about this as hard ground. Or heartedness. Who's ever encountered hard-hearted people? Who's related to hard-hearted people? Don't raise your hand right here. Okay, that's the first one. We talked about that one. They're not a threat to the enemy. Satan comes and he has access to the word because they rejected the word immediately. And how many of us know that the book of Proverbs says that the fool, it's the fool that rejects wise instruction from the mouth of the Lord. Amen? Only the fools will reject the word of God. Okay, number two, let's look at number two, ground number two. verse 16. These likewise are the ones on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Notice, the first ground, Satan was immediately able to steal it because the guys did not receive it. In the second ground, Satan cannot immediately steal it because what happened to the word? They immediately received it, right? First ground, Satan immediately stole the word. Second ground, Satan cannot immediately steal the word because they received. We're going to look at that tonight, okay? The meaning of receive. They received the word into their hearts. Notice, though. And they have no, verse 17, they receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Immediately they are, write this word down, offended. If you have a King James Version, that's the way it reads. They are offended. Who has met people like that? Oh, I'm going to say some hard things tonight. How many of y'all like me, love me for saying hard things? Because sometimes hard things need to be said. You know, the Bible it paints a very stark contrast of a picture for those who are children, spiritual children, that are unstable. How many of y'all know that children are emotionally unstable? They can be raised in a stable home, but what is the first word they learn? Mine. Right? Mine. No, don't take this. And they're all about who? They're all about themselves. Now, those are infants, but then they grow up to be toddlers or even children. Ephesians 4 says that we pray that we grow up into the measure of the fullness of stature of Christ, so that we would no longer be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Come on, somebody. Okay, I'm going to break it down. How many of y'all like me breaking it down? Bring out your steel toes. Who's ever heard? I've been around the block. I've been around the block. And how many of y'all know that I have a photographic memory? Sometimes. Thanks a lot. You know, I remember when I was a baby Christian, I heard all these. I was thrown into, Christians in the early 80s were full of conspiracy theories. If you want to know why I am completely averse to conspiracy theories, is because I've seen them come, I've seen them blow up, I've seen them blow away, and arrivederci. And everybody was still left up in arms. And I thought, that's a terrible way to live. You know, I met a lot of believers that were more concerned. How many of y'all heard that conspiracy theory of the lady, I can't remember her first name, but Murray, that was the one that was trying to lobby Congress to shut down all Christian publication, all Christian content off of the airways. That was a conspiracy theory. Madeline Murray, thank you, O'Hare, right? Madeline Murray O'Hare. And I met more Christians that knew that story, that fought for against that story, which was not real. And I know because I spoke to her son, and he said, tell your pastor, right? I said, yes. He said, tell your people it's a conspiracy theory. My mom, he said, his mom at the time had already passed on. My mom is not doing that. He said, just tell people it's a hoax. But no, how many Christians still dug their heels in the sand? I'm a warrior for Christ. Pastor Joe, you just don't have enough passion. You just don't know how to defend the cross. Ah, on you. Gets me a little hot under the collar. No, listen to me, because people would rather be flaky than be soundly settled in the Word of God. That's flakiness. Or the latest diet. I love my mom-in-law. She was all about the fads, spiritual or diets or exercise program. Oh gosh, I remember they would get in. They once got into shrooms, babe. Do you know what shrooms are, Lisa? Listen. They would distill mushrooms. And they were supposed to drink the water after distilling it. It was supposed to clean their colon, and it had some kind of fat-reducing property. I love my mom-in-law. She was a blessing to me. She really was. But they lived out in the fringes. They believed every conspiracy theory that came down the pipe. She was the same one after Bill Clinton got elected that she said, "Oh no, I don't know what we're going to do. Jesus, you're going to have to come back." I thought, poor Jesus, he's probably worried about Bubba. "Father, send me now. Send me now, Lord. It's time to close this program up. He's worse than the Antichrist." You know, I began to believe that until I read a scripture in Daniel that said that the Antichrist will have no amorous feeling for women. I thought, well, there goes that one. That doesn't apply to Bill Clinton. Telling it like it is. So anyway, can we just major on the majors and not major on minors? You know, there's a song by Petra. They're the first Christian rock band ever in the history of Christianity. And I don't know if they still sing together. The lead singer, John Schlitt, is from Mount Pulaski, Illinois. And I've seen him in concert with Greg Volz when he was... do you guys know what I'm talking about? Okay. Well, you should have gone to concerts when you were teenagers. Yeah. Did you go, Miss Lisa? "Ooh, I'm going to burn a little..." We didn't have cell phones then, but we had those flick bics, right? The lighters. And so, anyway, so they have a song called "Witch Hunt." "We're on another witch hunt, looking for evil wherever we can find it. Off on a tangent, hope the Lord doesn't mind it. Another witch hunt." In other words, this song is all about the tangents we Christians have a tendency to go off on, come on somebody, and forsake the message of the cross. Yoo-hoo! When I studied last Sunday's message about the earth being destroyed, the universe being destroyed, my ex and I had some friends over from Kansas, very good friends actually, and this is what we were still in Mason City. This would have been about 11 years ago, actually 2010, and they were sharing this message that they heard at a prophet's conference or whatever, that the Lord came to die, not just for the people, that's kind of incidental, he came to die for the terra firma, the earth. I'm like, what? That's it. That is New Age. Oh yeah, the Lord came to die for people. But wow, this is a rousing revelation. I'm like, what? I'm thinking, you obviously don't read your Bible, because he says the heavens will be destroyed by fire and the earth will too. But no, they had their ears tickled. Tickle, 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 tickle. Okay, so back to the message. Verse 16, these are unstable people. Yes, they receive the word, but no, they're not in it for the long haul. I love when people say, you know, oh, I'm into athleticism and I'm into fitness. And they talk about these grandiose plans. You know what? I have a philosophy about plans. I never post them on Facebook. I never talk about plans. I just post results. But I know a lot of people say, you know, we're in this 16-mile marathon, 5K, 8K, or whatever, all this and that, and they never get it. Hey, what happened to that? Oh, it didn't pan out. I have a philosophy. Who would agree with me? When it's all said and done, more is said than done. Can we talk about spirituality? Isn't that the same? Doesn't the same hold true for spirituality? Oh, you just watch, Pastor Joe. I'm going to get on this 30-day Bible reading program. You just wait. I'm going to be praying heaven down. I'm going to be grabbing a hold of the altar of God, and I'm going to get close to Jesus. 3 months down the road, they're still the same old person with the same old bad habits. What happened? Well, it's a little harder than I thought. Can we categorize those in verse 17? What is their problem? They have no root in themselves. They have no root in themselves. You know, church family, I don't live for the next high. I don't live for the next high. I don't live for the next spiritual high. I don't live for the next pastor's conference. I told you I was going to say some hard things, didn't I? I don't live for that. My walk with Jesus every day is consistent. I'm a very routine oriented. You can ask that lady in the back row. I'm very routine oriented. She knows pretty much by the clock in the day where I'll be at, don't you, babe? Barring an emergency. Because I know that my routine will carry me through. How many of y'all know that you are the sum of your daily habits? This is good teaching. We all are the sum of our daily habits. Question, do we have the habit of prayer? I know, you know, the Bible, here's a good nugget for you on prayer. God is not concerned how long you pray in one setting as much as he is how often you pray throughout the day. Good teaching, huh? But do we have the habit of praying? Do we have a daily habit of reading the Bible? These are unstable people. So listen carefully. Instability, listen to me, church family. I'm speaking truth tonight. Instability will eventually, untended and uncorrected, instability will always lead to offense. I was offended by that church. I was offended by that group. I was offended by this person. I was offended by that person. You know, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid in college, the main few words that we always spoke as Christian was, wow, that convicted me. That message convicted me. And so we would take it personally and we would pray and ask God to help us with whatever the conviction in whatever area we were convicted in. But it seems like today, 30 years later, 35 years later, our main words coming out of our mouth with regard to the Word of God is, that message offended me. It's no longer, that message convicted me. Yoo-hoo! Well, that offends me, Pastor Joe. Bless God. Well, that offends me. Well, that offends me. Okay? What are you going to do about it? Well, I'm telling you, you're the problem, Pastor Joe. Okay, here's my illustration. So yesterday we were at Tailwind eating lunch. I know you like me telling this story. And there was there were not a lot of people there for lunch. It surprised us. And so we were sitting in front of the TV watching college football. And we ordered, and there was a husband and wife couple sitting next to us. They were older. He said later that he was 80. He looked younger than Jim, didn't he, babe? Sorry, Jim. He looked younger than you. And he had muscle on him. He was like bulky and stocky. But he said he was 80. But we also noticed he had just been downing the Cutty Sark. You know, what did he have, babe? Whiskey on rock. So it was just one out. He was knocking him down. And so, you know, our deal, we just, you know, when we're out in public, how many of y'all know, number one, we represent the Lord Jesus. Number two, as pastor of this church, I represent this church. So I mind my own business and I'm just trying to talk. And, you know, I engaged the server in conversation because she mentioned that her grandpa, was in hospice and she had a rough week or so. Well, you know, when anybody opens a door like that, you know, I'm going to take it to talk about Jesus. How many of y'all think that's appropriate? How many of y'all, I don't think any believer should ever think that talking about Jesus when the opportunity comes up is inappropriate. But so I asked her, I gently probed about her dad, and I said, ma'am, was your dad, your grandpa religious? Oh, he's a Christian. This ding dong over here to my left, whoa, wait a minute, why did you ask her if he was religious? I said, sir, I'm a pastor. I've worked in hospice. I work in hospice, so I understand hospice. And I was nice about it, wasn't I, babe? I understand him, so he kept on. And then we're just visiting, eating our food in peace. And then, how many chapters does the Bible have? Am I exaggerating? I said, sir, I don't know, but it's got 66 books of the Bible. No, it's got 12 chapters. I said, sir, I didn't say 66 chapters. I said 66. No, 12 chapters. Am I right? And she, by this time, she's like, she's going like this, motioning to me like, leave it alone. I said, okay. So I'm not acknowledging him anymore. I'm ignoring him. We wrap it up. And I think the server said this to Cindy. She said, I wish he would leave. Because his wife left him there. She's waiting out in the car. That's how obnoxious this guy was. And so I'm like, cool. We get the tab. I'm filling it out. I'm filling out the tip. And he said, how much are you going to tip? Serious. Am I telling the truth? And Cindy, I mean, I was going to let it go. I was not going to even answer. She's like, sir. She, listen, I don't mess with her. I have, if you get to know her the way I know her, you will have the fear of Cynthia in your heart.
And now she's armed with prejudice.
Yes.
With or without the
listen, that woman, she doesn't back down from anybody. She said, in this tone of voice, she said, she was polite, she was respectful, but she was firm. Sir, that is none of your business. Oh, yeah, well, you are effing rude. And I said, sir, you will not speak to my wife that way. Am I right? So what does he do? He's getting up from his bar stool. I said, sit down. He sits down. I said, I don't hit old men. I said, come on, babe. So we left and I said, this guy's got problems. We walked out, didn't we, babe? Now, what if he wanted to square off? Listen, I'm not gonna touch him, but I will defend myself. My wife's like, thank you for defending me. I said, honey, you could have done that all by yourself. She said, I was wanting him to get up so I can swipe the crutch on his feet, sweep him off his feet. I tell you what, you just come across all kinds. And I don't think we were minding our own business A to Z. I wasn't asking him questions. I was not engaging him. I was trying to be, you know, Pastor will be done. On to verse 18. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones that hear the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now we talked about that at length Wednesday evening, so I won't need to do that. But let's just say that verse 17 is unstable people. Verse 18 is distracted people. Who would agree with me that distraction is one of the enemy's greatest ploys? You know, I don't know about you, but there have been many times where I could spend days and days. Yes, I'll have my devotional time. I'll have my time in prayer. But my thought life will not be caught up in Christ or in the Word. It'll be caught up with everything but every mundane matter. Who's with me? That things come up and you got to tend to this and you got to tend to that. And then now we have a financial need here and we have a financial need there. And then this isn't coming through. And you're like, golly, does this ever stop? Wow. So things command your attention, but we have to watch distraction in our lives, don't we? Go with me to Proverbs chapter 4. So far, so good, everybody?
Yes.
Y'all still love me?
Yes.
And the jury's out. Right, Miss Carol? Jim, you're not even talking to me. I said he looked younger than you. That's all, brother. It's not a knock. You look distinguished. Verse 26 and 27, Proverbs 4. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Okay, let me break it down for you. The Message Bible, same verse says, it says, ignore all the sideshow distractions. Let me write that down. Second one is, what did we say the second one was? It's unstable. Three, distracted. Ignore all the sideshow distractions. What are some sideshow distractions that we face on a daily basis?
Work.
Very good. Yeah, if you bring it home, that's a big one. You're right. Anything else? Concern? Family or friends? Very good. Absolutely. What about just maintenance? I got to get my car serviced. You know, my car, I let it go beyond 5,000 miles. I let it go to about 6,000 miles. But the Yahoos forgot to reset the check oil thing, so it's been bugging me for the last month. You know, change your oil. It's urgent, urgent, urgent. Well, danger, Will Robinson. It's, you know. And I'm like, these Yahoos, I'm going to tell them to reset it next time I go. You know, there's so much tugging at us, right? Anything can happen. I remember, you know, I'm having a beautiful day, and my daughter calls me. She's like, I just want to let you know we had to take Milo to the emergency room. She has coughing spells. This was about a month ago. And she's like, would you please pray? I said, let's pray right now. You know, any little thing like that. How many of y'all know that when it's your children or your grandchildren, that stays with you 24/7? Let me say this. It should stay with you 24/7. Right, Jim? All right, thanks, brother, for that head nod. He's not going to talk to me anymore, but he's ornery. Trust me, go out and eat, he throws me under the bus, so we're all good. Yeah. All right, let's go to Mark 4 in closing. So he talks about the cares of this world, the worries, the chores, the to-dos, the deceitfulness of riches. I don't think any of us here are subject to that, are we? We realize that money's not the solution to the problems of the world. Throwing more money at people or at problems, especially the way our government spends it, spends money they don't have, yoo-hoo, spends it on causes that just blow my mind. Deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things entering in, choke the word. Who would agree with me that there are other desires other than the love for money, other than the concern for worries and stuff like that? There are lusts for all kinds of things. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. I like the post that Cindy put up, that if you shine from within, you don't need the spotlight. And I'm like, oh, that hurts. I thought, that convicted me. I didn't want to say it to her, but now I'm saying it to her. I wanted to say, that offended me. You know, I don't know why we shake our booty when we say, that offended me, Pastor Joe. I once had a member in Effingham call me, not Pastor Joe, Pasture. What do you think? Do you think the cows come and eat on me or something? Pasture Joe. You think... I'm going to get it now. That's...
Yeah, you don't want to go home.
No, let's fellowship a while longer.
We make a motion that we pray.
Yes, that's number 3. Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the fun we have. Thank you, Lord, for your word. That's really why we gather around, Father. Having fun is good, but your word is what really matters. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.